Super Gamecast 64, episode 111. Today on the show, guys, we got DLC for Destiny. We got Nintendo directly coming at us with all this news. We got some basketball games. We're going to give away a free game on the show. And we got tons of topics about mobile games. One of you two beautiful gentlemen sitting next to me, hit the DJ.
DJ. Completely disregarded what you said.
Combo breaker. I would like to note for posterity that once again, these gentlemen have decided to sit on opposite sides of me where they normally sit, creating this awkward kind of, I'm now realizing that this table is a little rickety.
Ooh, it's
and thinking wobbly. Thinking back to episode 110, we should probably not lean on the table. Sorry if that makes everything
terrible.
That's
going to be a problem for Tyler.
Yeah, well, if you hear any creaks
or
something.
Tyler's a professional leaner.
He's
like a lean cuisine.
Then.
The leanest.
You'll know what it is. Before we get into everything, guys, this is Super Gamecast 64. It's a comedy show. It's also a video game show. If you don't laugh, you're a sociopath. I'm your host, Matt. With me, as always, we got.
It's Kevin.
And.
Tyler.
All the games are here, and you are now too. So let's get started with this great, great content. Before we hop into the news, my friends, and of the news there was this week, there were many of them.
There were so many news. The word news implies that the topics are new.
Yes.
It's like multiple news.
Yes.
There's a lot of them.
But even though they're new news,
mm-hmm.
we gotta talk about the best news.
New news.
The newest news of all.
Champion reworks in League of... Oh, no.
No. Tyler's close.
I'm into that.
Something has been reworked, though, and it's Tyler's overall relationship. He's now...
Damn, that was good.
He's now a Mary. Good. He's now... Ooh, that means I'm the only one. I think we already talked about this.
Matt, we were in a race to see who could get married first, because we literally started at the exact same time.
Yes, Tyler started dating...
Yeah, wasn't it the same day?
Yep.
Tyler started dating his now wife on the same day I started dating my current...
wife.
Summer wedding's done quick.
Just go ahead, Tyler. You can do the Borat, because, I mean, it counts now on every married
man. I've never
seen
that movie.
Me neither.
My wife. Okay. Before we hop into news... Like I said, we got other news that I think is not game-related specifically, but I do want to bring it up. Before that, Tyler, your wedding was awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
There was, like, some roast biff. There was some Dude, those garlic taters, or whatever the fuck was on those potatoes.
I wish I could share it with the audience.
Sweet, sweet goodness.
I wish there was taste-o-vision.
The beans were good.
This would be an episode that would taste good. What?
I had some cake after the fact. I didn't have any at the wedding.
How was it? What'd you think?
It was dope. Still in my fridge.
Cannoli cake is what he had.
I don't want it back.
I got the special cake.
The cannoli cake wasn't the special cake?
No, it was still very special from what I understand, but I didn't have any because Matt ate it all.
I didn't eat any of the cake.
You didn't have any cake?
I had some cannoli cake. I didn't know there was a special secret cake
that
you guys left me out of.
Well, if you had cannoli cake, then you don't get super secret. You didn't get cake.
I want the cannoli cake.
It was the cake your ass? Because that's...
No.
That's a joke. It's cake.
Nah, it was like a streusel cake.
It was a spice cake with this buttercream frosting and filling and streusel. And it was so good.
Now
there's that big old box that was sitting on my table.
For those of you that don't know what streusel is, it's strudel spelled wrong.
Yes. Now that you are sufficiently aroused to our cake talk...
I need to take a 5-minute break.
Well, all right, let's take that break real quick.
Get that insulin.
And we're back. I'm glad Tyler's relieved himself. We have some breaking news that is going to break your heart. But then it's going to not break your heart. You guys like the Larvitar Last Airbender?
Yeah.
Larvitar
Last Airbender.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's an animated series. You guys might know. There's this thing called anime.
Yeah, with Aang and Sokka and...
The moon.
I can't even fucking...
Wait, hold up. Is this anime or is this Western?
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
We're not sparking this debate. No.
I've never watched the Avatar The Last Airbender.
You haven't?
No. Well,
you can't talk about this. Sorry, you're off the show.
All right, guys.
But
thanks for coming. We're going to go watch that now. Have a good week.
And we're back. Guys, that was a great... Wow. I really liked that anime, maybe Western. Okay, this is now completely 100% a deep dive into Korra, because we also did that right after.
Welcome to Super Avatar Cast.
The last cast bender. So the Avatar The Last Airbender series is being produced for Netflix. That was the heartbreaking part, because as these gentlemen so plainly told, if you haven't seen it, it's got a big, big fan base, and people really hold this in high regard. But the non-heartbreaking part, it's made by the same series creators as the original.
Yeah, buddy.
This is going to be an animated.
Yep.
That's no live action for you, M. Night Shyamalan. This is live on the cartoons.
If they don't make some sort of, like, tongue-in-cheek reference in the live action to shit all over M. Night Shyamalan's breakfast...
You know what would be cool is if, like, the Avatar kid is, sorry, I know about the show now, because we went and watched all
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, if he, you know,
what's
he,
his name again?
Avatar.
Avatar?
Korra. If she shoots her lightning bolt, it would be really cool if she shot her lightning bolt.
Shooting lightning bolt.
She shot her lightning bolt, because she can,
I remember that deleted
she can,
scene.
Motherfuck, she can bend the air. Let me finish my joke. If she hit a guy and killed him, and then she was like, I see dead people. That would be pretty good. No?
Swing away, Korra.
Anybody else want to talk about the Avatar before we move on to another?
No, dog.
Nope.
Okay,
I can't wait to see them dress up a giant dog like Appa.
I get the reference. Nice. Guys, we're also a video game show, not just an anime show. also, if you want more great, great anime content, you should go listen to our friends over at Shonen Trash. They're great. Shonen, space, trash. If you like anime, they cover a new or old anime every week and do deep dives. So yeah, shout out to them. But guys, I like a little bit more live action in my adaptations. And that's what we're getting with the Witcher Netflix series. Now, this was announced a while ago. This is not new by any means. But there was some script leaks for some promotional material. Or I think some table reads for whoever was playing Yennefer. Which indicates kind of the way they're going to be going with these characters. And I didn't read it because I'm not trying to spoil myself. Plus, it's...
There are a bunch of speculation as to who was playing Geralt, too.
Yes. I don't know. I feel
they
like...
They were saying that one guy's going to play Geralt.
Michael Fassbender?
No.
He would make a decent Geralt. No, would he?
No, that old guy.
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, Ron Perlman. Are we going to play this right now? Okay, Super Gamecast 64.
Casting.
Who do you think?
The Witcher.
Okay, who do you want to play? Let's start with Yennefer. Who would you want to be Yennefer? Y'all know Yennefer.
Yennefer Garner.
Okay, fuck me. Let's just quit. Let's go to news. We're done. It's over. The mic's blowing out. My limiter's all messed up.
Brie Larson.
You know what? No. I think she would play a good Ciri?
I think she'd be a really good Griffin.
Brie Larson comes down. By the way, Captain Marvel trailer.
Damn right.
That dropped today, dude. She dropped her ass straight into a blockbuster.
Secret segue, baby.
Nice, dude. If you guys haven't seen the Captain Marvel trailer, it did drop today. Now you know what day we're recording this. It is
National Cheeseburger Day as well.
God damn, there's so many national every... Go eat a cheeseburger, watch the Marvel, Captain Marvel. Yes, yes, him. Oh my God.
I can see it.
We just we're looking at a picture of the man, Mads Mikkelsen. Mads Mikkelsen, if you are not familiar with Mads Mikkelsen, go watch the Death Stranding, the second trailer,
Or go look at Elon Musk.
No, Elon Musk would not make a good...
No, I'm saying they look very similar.
No, what?
Yeah.
Mads Mikkelsen and Elon Musk? All right, you decide. Just go to our Facebook group, Super Gamecast 64. Tell us, who do you think is better at space engineering, Elon Musk or Geralt of Rivia?
They don't look anything alike.
And then, thank you, Tyler, for confirming that for me. And then next, who do you think would look better in a knight's armor? This actually has nothing to do with if they look alike. I just want to know if you guys think Elon Musk would look better than Geralt.
Mark Hamill.
That's it. That's all we have to say. And now we're going to move on to news as we hit the 10. So here's Kevin over here typing into Google, Mads Mikkelsen, Elon Musk. And just because auto search was like completed lookalike, joke's on you. They were just listening to you talking.
No, they weren't.
Yeah, they were.
Nah.
What's up, Google? How you guys doing? Give me them SEOs. Now let's get into the real stuff, guys. The real hard-hitting news. Do you guys like The Binding of Isaac?
Yeah.
Tyler's thinking. Tyler, do you like The Binding of Isaac?
So here's the thing. The reason I initially liked The Binding of Isaac was because It reminded me of old school Zelda dungeons, and it was that was fun.
Yes.
Then I sunk 90 hours into it.
Yes.
And then it was re-released, and I bought that too.
Yes, because they always add, when they add the DLCs, it's a roguelike, so you're not really getting a brand new game or like a different story. They're just adding levels that'll organically pop up. You still have to play through the same stuff. They add a lot of stuff, but I can see where you're coming from.
I might be rogued out.
Yeah, there's been a lot of roguelikes.
Yeah. But I mean, that's like the go-to indie game creation.
That's kind of all I do right now, is play roguelikes.
You look like you're quieter on the monitor here.
Because I'm really sad.
He's sad about...
Just wait till Moonlighter comes out on Switch.
Just wait until Dead Cells comes out, a game of the year. What? Binding of Isaac, creator Edmund McMillan, sorry, almost butchered that. He announced, quote-unquote, the true final DLC, because there was a quote-unquote, final DLC that would end all the DLCs, and then I think Edmund McMillan was like, I would like to work on Binding of Isaac again. So, what he did is he announced Binding of Isaac Repentance, and what that'll do is it'll feature the Anti-Birth mod. There was a mod that was created called Anti-Birth. They're going to integrate that into the actual full retail game. It's going to have new story content, so like cutscenes and stuff, those endings with Isaac. Maybe we'll find out if the whole God thing... I don't want to spoil anything for anybody if they haven't played Binding of Isaac.
It's really hard to spoil Isaac because you'll probably never see this stuff.
Have to play through the game and beat it like a bajillion times to get there. But new bosses, I love that. New weapons, new... Whenever they release these DLCs, it's like 200 new items, you know, 20 new bosses, tons of new stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. There's no set release date yet. They say there will be a retail release, but... The only retail release we saw of like the last one was on the Switch. Right. There was obviously get on Xbox and PlayStation, but no retail.
Limited run will pick it up.
That would make a whole lot of sense.
And our boy Kevin would probably love that.
Yes. Yes. Kevin.
Have you seen his Switch collection, his game collection?
No, I have not. Kevin, shouts out. If you haven't already, and maybe I missed it, just do it for once again, posterity. I like that word today. Take a picture of that Switch collection with all those sexy limited run games. Post that to the group.
He's got a lot of them.
Yeah. Good listener. Good friend of the show, Kevin. That's something I didn't really think of. Limited Run has really, when you look at the retail library of the Switch, Limited Run has really broken open the idea of collecting physical again. True. Because beyond the whole idea of having a physical piece of, you know, media, these games are limited. They're usually really cool, and you're not going to be able to get them again. And I think the Switch is really the only library that has that. Limited Run has done some stuff on PS4, but the Switch specifically is where they have focused in on. So I think Binding of Isaac Repentance plus Limited Run equals physical release on the Nintendo Switch. What's up, babe?
Nothing. I made pickles earlier.
Yeah, and you're smelling
my
hand.
My fingers smell like dill and garlic, and I just keep getting real big whiffs of it, and I'm wondering if everybody else is, too. I'm just trying to continue that cake talk we're having at the beginning of the show.
No. I don't smell it, but there if it I did, I would be incredibly, incredibly happy. Guys, Nintendo is going to have a Direct, yeah?
Sure.
And then an earthquake happened. And right. I was like, oh no, I really hope that everyone's okay. Turns out, for the most part, you know, it was an earthquake, but it didn't shake up things too much because Nintendo came out and said, hey, we're doing that Direct. It's just a few days later. We watched it. There's a whole lot of stuff to talk about. We're not going to hit every single thing that Nintendo talked about because they are crazy and announced like 900 things at once. This seems to be the Nintendo go-to thing, where instead of having a giant E3, they just do maybe like four really big directs throughout the year, and then just sprinkle the information as we go.
Did you know that if you take Luigi's Mansion for GameCube, and you open the top while it's running, and you move the disc backwards, it'll say Luigi isn't dead over and over again?
Yeah, Luigi had to die for Luigi's Mansion 3 to be announced, because now you're Mario going after Luigi. That's actually not right at all. But they did announce Luigi's Mansion 3. It's a working title, but it'll probably be as like Luigi's Mansion, the darkest side of Pink Floyd.
Now, is it Luigi's Mansion, or is he...
I mean, initially it was.
It's Luigi's Mansion because he
get it.
He wins it.
Damn.
That's the whole story of Luigi's Mansion 1, is that he wins a mansion in a giveaway, and that he didn't enter. And he's like, this sounds This sounds
legit.
Smart.
Legit, yeah.
So he rolls up, Toad, and then his brother's all kidnapped. Yeah. To that point, so that's a 2019 title, from what they say, for the Switch. To that point, they already announced it, but Luigi's Mansion 1 is getting a quote-unquote remaster re-release for the 3DS. That will be really, really cool, and that is coming out October 13th, I want to say. I'll give you that date for sure when we come back to it. But what this Switch... Well, what this Nintendo Direct was a lot of cool Switch ports from the Wii U, some things that we had heard about before at E3 or other Directs and are now getting more information on.
You know Luigi's Mansion is for 3DS, right?
Yeah, did I say Switch?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Luigi's Mansion 3 is a Switch title. Luigi's Mansion 1 is a 3DS re-release, and that is coming out October 12th, I'm sorry. So in a month here, if you guys want to play the original Luigi's Mansion, which was originally on GameCube, you can now play that on your handheld device.
How much do you think it's going to be?
$30. If they there's go also, 40, I'll be so annoyed that I have to pay $40.
There's also going to be a multiplayer.
There is some new stuff. Tyler, are you mad that it's 40?
No, I'm mad that my game was 60.
Yeah, that Luigi's Mansion on the GameCube was 60.
No.
In 3DS.
Neither.
What?
Oh.
What? I'm mad that Monster Hunter Generations was Ultimate was 60.
Shit, I really hope they don't do a 60. Because here's the thing, is with most of these re-releases, they've done like a 40 or a 30.
How much were
like WarioWare
games, though?
Between 40 and 60.
So, I mean, if they're going to do a full-price 3DS game at the death's door of the handheld console...
It wouldn't make much sense to do
no.
that.
Yeah, but they put that coating on it that makes it taste like shit. That's got to at least
that's
add
$10. That's the Switch.
This is for 3DS.
I thought this was coming out for Switch. The remaster.
This is 3DS.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
God damn, we're lost in
there. They're going to talk about full price.
No. Here's the thing.
What if they put the coating on it, though?
Then I'm just eating it.
Okay.
They released WarioWare Gold, which I still haven't gotten. I'm so sad. For $40. I feel like that set the bar where if you're taking old content and like Mario Party Top 100, old content re-released, $40.
Well, if the precedent they set is $30 to $40 for a 3DS game, that's what they're going to keep.
I think Monster Hunter Generations is $60 because they...
ported to Switch.
Oh, was that a Switch title?
No, it was a 3DS title that was ported to Switch.
Yeah.
Oh, well then, yeah, I could see how they could try to pull $60 out of you for a Switch title.
I mean, they did it, but like, still.
I understand.
I'm upset.
Speaking on 3DS, here's a $40 title you can probably expect. Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn. That's the remake of the Wii game, Kirby's Epic Yarn, which was a fun, fun time. I think there was a release date for that. I don't have it in my notes. I'm trying, I think 2019, maybe?
I can't wait for Mario's Felty Fun.
You know what? Yoshi already took that mantle.
No, he's got Woolly World.
Yeah. Oh! Mario's...
You just got to work your way through the craft store. You got Woolly World. You got Epic Yarn. Yeah. Now you got to have, like, Felty Fun.
Felty Fun.
Or, like Thule... Thule...
Yeah.
Town.
Thule Town.
Yeah.
Like, that's Animal Crossing.
Right.
That's what they'll be calling it. Thanks for that one, Kevin. I like that fun diversion.
Ooh, great. Craft version of Animal Crossing.
Here's some... Well...
Animal Cross Stitching.
I'm so... Oh, shit! I'm gonna have to edit that loud.
Buddy.
Okay, we got a lot of information about Nintendo Direct Online service to that. On the same day it launches, which is September 18th, you can get Capcom's Beat-em-up Bundle, which is 7 different Capcom-made beat-em-ups that you can now play online with your friends, which is really, really cool. Otherwise, it's just, you know, Final Fight, some Streets of Rage, I think.
None of which are Double Dragon, so you can skip it.
I feel like...
They didn't make that.
Okay. But there are 2 arcade games that were never released on console, so if you're a fan of, like, the old-school side-scrolling beat-em-ups, you want to play them with your friends, check it out. That'll be an eShop thing. More on that online stuff. Here are the pricing... I think we already talked about this before, but just once again to reiterate, if you want 1 month, it is $4, 3 months will be $8, and a year of Nintendo's online membership will cost $20. The thing is, Tyler, are you going to point that out?
There was something that was mentioned about you can have up to 8 people for $35.
Yeah. So the thing is unlike an Xbox Live Gold or a PlayStation Plus, you are getting account-based. So it's not just $12 a month and any profile on your Switch can access online. It is $12 or it's $20 for the year and your account. So if you and your partner or you and your sibling or you and anybody share a Switch and you both want to get online, what you should do is get what Tyler was referring to. It's called the Family Pack. It's $35, so essentially $5 less than the price of two full years of online, and you can have up to 7 people, I think, on the same console. Not confirmed, at least from our side, but what Tyler's saying does make sense fiscally. Coming with that online stuff is, besides your online multiplayer, they have cloud save data, which, if you disconnect from their online service, you will lose those cloud saves. Just very important. I know a lot of people, as soon as they announced cloud saves, I was like, yes, I can finally pull my save data from Tyler's thing that has 500 or 600 moons from Super Mario Odyssey. If for some reason your Nintendo Online ceases, you will not be able to access those. I think that is an archaic and kind of stupid thing to do.
I feel like they'll probably change that pretty quick.
But like Kevin said, I feel like that might be something they're doing that because they don't have the server space yet, or they're just entering the game and they'll change it later down the line. I think the bigger thing, and the thing that everyone was really asking about with this online stuff, was this NES streaming Netflix kind of thing they were throwing around. They announced some of that. I don't have the game list here, but basically what happens with your subscription is you get a selection of NES games that you can play online. You can play two-player. So just imagine yourself sitting there, Super Mario Brothers 3. You call up your pal. I call up Kevin or Tyler, and I'm like, hey, guys, you want to play some Super Mario Brothers 3? Sure do. We'll hop in, and now we're playing. I'm playing as Mario. They're playing as Luigi, or the other way around, and it's online. That's pretty cool. Pretty much all the big games that you want are in there. You know, you get your Legend of Zelda, your Yoshi NES, Super Mario 1, Super Mario Arcade, Super Mario 3. They'll all add them with time. What it seems to be right now is that they're not going to be taking any away as they add them. But there was talks before that it would be a rotating list, kind of like Netflix. So stuff will come off as time goes. At the end of the day, the question you need to ask yourself is, do you want to pay $20 to have NES games that you can play online? Because that's really the main thing. The next thing you have to ask yourself is, do you play ARMS? Which is no. Do you play... are you going to play Super Smash Bros. Ultimate?
Yes.
Do you play Mario Kart? No. Splatoon?
No.
Sushi Striker?
No.
Pokken?
No.
If you play any of these games, Tyler... hasn't, but
I played Monster Hunter Generations. That's online.
Okay, hey, now you're gonna have to pay for it regardless. Rocket League, any game that had online before you were getting for free. Now, as of the 18th, you're gonna have to pay.
Oh, right, that's gonna be multiplayer, isn't it?
Yeah, yep. Buddy.
Would you buy that?
Say it again. I missed it.
I think I've owned Stardew Valley 4 or 5 times over.
Yeah, Stardew.
I just didn't know if you bought it for Switch.
Yeah, no, I definitely did. That was actually one of the first games I bought. That and Golf Story.
So, Golf Story is a good game. It's a good time. But basically, yeah, come the 18th, if you were playing any of those online games, I feel bad for the Splatoon 2 community, who has, like, really had this whole free online thing, and now they're all forced to pay $20 just because, you know, it is what it is, but...
it's $20.
Yeah, it is. For the NES collection, if you really want to make it the full experience, you can buy 2 NES, well, you can attempt to buy, because I'm sure they're going to be sold out everywhere.
Oh, for sure.
2 NES controllers that essentially, you know, just link up to your Switch. They're made for the Switch, and it is $60 for 2. How do we feel about the price? $30 for an NES controller that can be attached to your, connect to your Switch.
Surprisingly reasonable.
It's not $30. It's $60 for 2, because they don't come individual.
True.
That's first off.
True.
Second, they don't have the HD Rumble. Right?
True.
It's just an NES controller.
Yeah.
It's not a... What are they called?
The only thing they have that's in addition to like a normal NES thing, the movement.
What's the Switch grip called?
Joy-Con?
Joy-Con. Thank you. Counter I could not... Point.
But oh, it, got, I, hold on. The only thing that is on this controller that is not a normal NES controller is the fact that it is wireless and it has the L and R bumpers that the Joy-Con normally have. So I'm assuming that's how you're going to access the menus that are overlaid, because start and select already do things in NES games. So I'm sure it's old LR start select to back out, like how they do with Super Nintendo, SNES Classic, I mean, all that stuff.
Yes, but...
Yes.
Doesn't work with any of your Switch games.
True. Yeah, this is like NES stuff. Well, is that confirmed?
Yeah.
I guess what Switch game would work unless it's like a 4-button.
Why would you want to play a Switch game with it?
With an NES controller.
I'm just saying, you know what? It's only for the NES games.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Kevin, I hear your point, but then counterpoint, Bloodstained Curse of the Moon. I would 100%
replay that.
But if I had the option of playing it and I hadn't already played it, and I had an NES controller, I would have liked to play that with the NES controller.
Other
that
counterpoint
is yes. True.
NES controllers never had Rumble, so
true. But we're just saying it's the modern day. They're charging $60 for two controllers.
Right. I see what you're saying.
How much are the Joy-Cons normally?
You're comparing $60. It to the Joy-Cons in terms of pricing. I see what you're saying.
Precisely.
How much are the Joy-Cons?
$60 for a pair.
For a pair?
Yeah.
Okay, at that point, then fuck off.
So they're just shipping an inferior technology for the same price.
That's what I'm saying.
The nostalgia, it should technically, they should probably be like $15 for one. So 30 for a pair, or maybe 20 for a pair, if we're speaking on manufacturing costs, but they're selling nostalgia. If you're not including HD Rumble, you're not including any gyroscopic sensors.
$40, that'd be fine for two of them.
40 would be better than 60.
Yeah.
Splitting hairs, I'll probably get them, if I can find them. Anyways, continuing on, some stuff early January. If you didn't have a Wii U, here's a great piece of Mario gameplay to get. It is the Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe Pack. Comes out January 11th, 2019. I'm feeling this one will probably be $60. What this is it's Super Mario Bros. U, which was, I believe, a launch title for the Wii U.
Yes.
But is widely considered one of the best 2D Mario games to exist. And then it also includes Super Luigi Bros. U, which was a... Let's just call it a sequel, because it basically was. Came out about a year and a half later, 100 extra levels, but it focused on Luigi. They're combining those, releasing it for the Switch with two brand new characters.
I don't think I've ever had as much fun in a Mario game as I have with Super Mario Bros. U.
Oh, I know I'm buying this day one.
Jumping on your friends' heads and just yeeting them into a hole is like one of the most fun things you can possibly do. And picking people up and throwing them and shit.
I don't know if I've ever told you guys the story, my story of playing this the first time. This game was a game that I had never played before, and it was not new. And I sat down and played it with Rush. We played it all the way through, and we had a great time.
How long? Is that like a whole afternoon or like a
whole
day?
It's like 3 hours.
Yeah. The table's rocking. 3 hours for Super Mario Bros. U?
Roughly. Yeah.
Isn't there other secret worlds and stuff, though?
I mean, we beat the story. We didn't...
Oh, okay, yeah.
And stuff.
All right, good.
We didn't 100%. We just played it.
Continue.
So there's this part at the end where like you beat Bowser. You beat Bowser in the classic way. There's the axe on the bridge, and you fly over, and you fall in the lava.
Spoilers for Super Mario Brothers ever, I guess, there.
Right. But he comes back and grows huge and chases you through all sorts of crazy levels. And you got to use some pretty like skilled platforming. I mean, this is supposed to be the hardest level. It's the last level.
You got to be deft with your abilities to control Mario.
Right. So we make it all the way through. And like Bowser's encroaching. You can tell this is the final.
He wants that bar. Italian butt.
Right. And
who doesn't?
Good point.
There's this jump that you have to time just right at the end. That there was, I could tell already playing a lot of Mega Man as a kid, that if you don't make a specific running jump, and then you won't make the
It's all over.
Yeah, right. Hit the P.
Right. So we didn't have one of those. We were just little Luigi, little Mario, and it was the scariest. We're standing on the exact same block. And I go, we're not going to win this. I pick him up, jump, and throw him, and fall into lava. I go, go.
Chariots of Fire like, dude. Starts playing.
Chariots of Fire.
He finishes the level. And, like, I mean, we were completely out of lives at that point. I don't know how.
So the last-ditch effort, usually conserved for the troll, was the saving grace of that final
level.
Exactly. Now, here's something, Tyler. We're tying it back to this re-release. You will never have to... but you can avoid that experience now with two new characters, one of which is Gambit? Nabbit? What is his name? I think it's Nabbit. He's like the little rabbit dude runs around with like the...
Yep,
he steals... Nabbit. He steals your shit.
Thing.
Okay, Nabbit cannot be hit by enemies. He's invincible to enemies.
What?
Yeah, he runs, but I don't think he can jump very well. Then there's Toadette. And if you get the power-up for Toadette, like the mushroom, she becomes Peach. They're not calling her Peach, they're calling her Princess Toadette. But she becomes Peach, and like in Super Mario Bros. 2, Peach can hover. It's kind of like this whole Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, where they added the Funky Kong character that makes all the game easier. What they've done with this re-release that's coming out January 11th is they're adding these two new characters that will, arguably make it easier for kids who want to play. It gives you a little bit more leniency. Those hard jumps Tyler was explaining, you're going to have a little bit more wiggle room on. What it does for me is it makes me able to play the game without getting too mad. Like, I'll fully admit here on the show, Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze for the Switch. They added Funky Kong. Funky Kong can hover longer than Diddy Kong. He cannot get hurt by spikes, and he has two extra hearts. I played the entire game as him, and I don't care what you think about it. I had a good time. One of my buddies was like, you didn't even beat the game then. And then he complained about how hard the last boss was for a week, and then he stopped playing, and I don't know if he's actually finished the game. So who's the Joker now?
Throwing shade on the
I'm not saying who it was. He knows who it is. And
you know who you are. Shame on you.
He doesn't listen to the show. It's fine. Okay. I love him anyways. He bought my copy off me for a good price. Here's something I'm super, super excited for. I don't have a date because I'm stupid. I didn't take a screenshot of it. But Katamari Damacy Reroll. Mm. Two reasons I'm excited for this. A, we were just playing Donut County and we talked about how it's Katamari in reverse. So I've been telling everyone around me, hey, have you played Katamari? You should really play Katamari. It's a great game. And then Switch is like, here's Katamari. So on one end, it's fulfilling me now forcing this game onto everybody. And on the other end, it adds gyroscope controls, because one of everyone's complaint about Katamari is it's so annoying to control, which it is. There is a learning curve to playing Katamari. It is not as intuitive as you think, but the motion controls are going to be awesome. One of you boys explain what Katamari is, because I haven't yet on this episode.
You ever see one of those wiggle giggle balls that the kids have?
Yes.
Little ball with the little spikes that...
Is that a thing still?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
I got my dog has one.
Okay, so yeah.
You start with that, right?
Yeah.
It's about the size of a baseball, golf ball, maybe?
Sure.
When in the first level, it's like the size of, like, a thimble. You start off very small.
Size of a thimble, very small. And you're a little man with a... look like a bedroll on your head.
Yeah, it's very Japanese.
Super Japanese. And you roll your little thimble ball around until you pick up, like, a ladybug. And your little wiggle giggle ball gets a little bigger. Then you pick up a centipede or a cockroach or
he's using a lot pebble. Of insect things here. It's not a lot. It's not like this insect hell world where you're like a rumble ball.
The whole point of the game is you roll your ball around. And you try to pick up things that are bigger, slightly bigger than your ball. And as you pick them up, your ball gets bigger until you roll up the whole world.
Yeah, you have each level. It's broken up into levels. I'm pretty sure this is a remake of the first game. They're just calling it Katamari Damacy Reroll. And so it's either a compilation of levels or it's a remake of the first. But like Kevin said, start out very small. Each level has you're trying to get to a certain size of your ball by rolling up stuff around you. There's a time limit. You start off super, super small, picking up things like dust and shogi pieces and little teeny tiny things. And then eventually you are rolling up towns and buildings and planets. It's this really weird, really eccentric, colorful, not in your face, but... It's
very
unique.
Stylized.
Yeah, stylized is a good word for it. It is amazing for the Switch, in my opinion.
Oh, this definitely belongs on the Switch.
I would have loved to see a PS4 re-release or something, but this is a game that was on the PS2. It doesn't need any crazy graphics. Kevin, I can't wait for when you're like throwing around your wedding ring and then just like falls into Pennywise's fucking cellar.
Yeah.
Or a little... It is a good movie.
It's cool.
Watch Castle Rock. Diablo 3 Eternal Edition, I think is what they're calling it.
I think you can play as Ganondorf.
Yes, you can play as Ganondorf.
What?
They're like, use the amiibo and smash it on your Switch and you can play as Ganondorf. Actually, that's not what happens when you use the amiibo. If you use an amiibo while you're playing Diablo 3 Eternal Edition, it spawns a group of high-value targets who you can kill for loot. So that's pretty cool. But as Tyler said, yes, there is a costume and a weapon set that you play as Ganondorf.
Is he barbarian?
I'm assuming, because his moves looked...
Smashy?
His moves looked familiar, and I've only ever played as a barb when I played Diablo 3.
Oh.
If you're going to look it up, I don't think they said anything more than, like, you can play as the best villain ever from Legend of Zelda, Ganondorf.
Yeah, I wouldn't call him the best villain ever.
From Legend of Zelda?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
He's one of two, and they're both the same guy.
Terra? So, Game Freak, that you know them. They made Pokemon, that little game that no one ever plays.
Yeah.
They're making a game called Town. That's not what it's going to be. Well, it could be called that, but that's the working title. It's going to be coming out sometime in 2020.
I was going to say, it seems like a very early announcement.
They said it's coming out in 2019. I don't believe you.
Yeah, I don't either.
We'll see.
You don't even have a title yet. You call it Town.
It's Game Freak. They always take a little bit extra. But what Town is it is an RPG slash base defending game where you're trying to protect this little town. They didn't show a lot. Like Kevin said, it looks kind of early. But you're fighting these big monsters and you're just trying to make a ruckus. And they're coming in trying to get your town up.
Love making a ruckus.
And you're like, yo, I can't pass any legislation fast enough to ban these monsters from entering our town.
Is it? Everyone knows that in the monster world, there's nothing stronger than a good law.
Yeah, historically speaking.
Yeah.
City skyline, speaking of laws. If you like implementing, like, whether or not weed is legal in this district, or...
You know what probably happened?
Speed limits, yes.
So Game Freak is like, yo, we're gonna make this game, alright?
We're talking about Town again, sorry.
Yeah. I'll connect it, don't worry.
Okay, thanks.
And then the guys who make City Skylines are like... We're bringing it to the Switch.
Yes.
And Game Freak's like, fuck, that was our game too.
That was we were making a whole town building game.
What are we gonna do? And they're like, call it Town. They'll never know.
Yes.
And that's it.
City Skyline Nintendo Switch Edition, which looks like it runs at 10 FPS at 480p, will be releasing today, aka the awesome. Day that Nintendo had their direct, I think the 13th of September that was. So if you want to play City Skyline, honestly, in an inferior way. Cities is a game, it's all about world building. Imagine SimCity on crack.
Completely underwater.
Imagine a city completely... God damn,
Atlantis.
Boy. Imagine a world completely underwater.
Rollercoaster Tycoon.
But now imagine a SimCity game that allows you to get really down into the gritty. Like I said, you can set different laws, you could set your taxes, all sorts of things. It's very in-depth. I hear that people who plan cities use it as an actual thing to, you know, plan their cities. That is out now. We talked earlier about Yoshi's Crafted World, only a teeny bit, though. This is the sequel to Yoshi's Woolly World.
Hey, so when I was making that joke earlier, I didn't know this existed.
Yes, well, look at that. You are now... The destiny has come true.
It's as the old tomes foretold.
Yoshi's Crafted World will be available spring 2019. I just realized we're like 35 minutes in.
Yeah, buddy.
This direct was long, Yoshi's, and it was full of content.
Yeah, Yoshi's Pacatan's World.
Pacatan's World. Let's just keep moving through these guys. If you want to play board games on your Switch, motherfucker, what?
No, I'm saying go for it. If you want to play board games on your Switch, go for it.
Yeah, Asmodee Digital is going to be releasing Carcassonne, the Lord of the Rings card game that no one plays, and Pandemic sometime soon with more stuff to follow. As Kevin said, Catan is definitely one of them. Catan Ultimate, I think.
Board games.
Does it have all the expansions?
That's the thing.
Everyone knows how to play Catan, but nobody knows how to play the fucking expansions.
They said that some expansions will be released as DLC, depending.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of the similar thing to City Skylines, Sid Meier's Civ 6 will be available November 16th on the Switch. I don't know if that game will run very well. Depends on how they optimize it.
It should.
It came out, what was it, like maybe five?
Two? Maybe 3 years.
Okay, I might be thinking of Civ 5. I watched my cousins play that on their PC a lot.
That one didn't really... I mean, it's not like it was like mind-blowing graphics, so I can't imagine it's that big a deal.
True. So Civ 6, if you're a fan of Sid Meier's Civilization, you like strategy, like building up your civilization, that, once again, will be available on November 16th. Guys, here comes a whole bunch of Final Fantasy info. We're not going to dig deep into them, because we don't got time, but here's a bunch of stuff. Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition, which is a beat-em-up version of Final Fantasy 15. It contains all the cutscenes and all the story from the original Final Fantasy 15, but with chibi characters, is available now.
Almost exactly 2 years ago that Civ 6 came out.
Civ 6 came out October 21st, is that what it said?
2016. Sorry for the late.
If you like Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age, you can grab that next year on the Switch. Also next year, if you like remasters, well, now you can get a remaster of Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy IX, and Final Fantasy X-2. Here's the thing. We don't know which port of Final Fantasy VII this is. If it's the PC port, if it's the mobile port, we'll see. Don't buy this day one. It always depends on what port it is, because some of them are just not... They're not good. Also, November 2nd, it's the same day that you can get the GameCube controller adapter thing for the Switch. They announced that they are releasing a Super Smash Brothers bundle for Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. It doesn't look good. Sorry.
Might be highlighting my ignorance here, but is it only the controller adapter? Are they not making, like, wireless GameCube controllers for the Switch? Because, no. Why not?
Yeah, because they're dumb. It is a wired...
They make wireless NES controllers, but not wireless GameCube controllers?
Yes, correct. They did not do the WaveBird technology this time.
What the fuck,
Reggie? That's what I'm saying.
They probably can't. Mad Cats or something. I don't know.
What probably this is the Wii U stuff, and they're just selling it with the Switch, and they're gonna jack up the price. This is literally the Super Nintendo Classic was the NES Classic chipset with a different body on it,
and they just talked about that. Yeah,
exactly. So this is probably that with just a little bit different cords. I mean, that's what they do. But Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, if you're really really deep into it, you can get a custom console that is black and white and has no color. The actual Joy-Cons have added the Switch, or not the Switch, the Smash Brothers logo, which is essentially just a cross. So if you want a white line coming through a gray Joy-Con, instead of buying it, why don't you draw a white line? Larry, I just helped you out there.
My wife could probably make this on her Cricket for you for half the price.
Purity color.
My wife. But for real, I was very disappointed in this Ultimate Super Smash Brothers bundle. I was like, it looks like you just traced some stuff. The art is good, but for the price they're probably asking, whatever. Then the biggest stuff was at the end here. I've been saying for years.
It'll be years.
They come out. We see Isabelle from Animal Crossing. She's walking around in her little...
She'll be my new main.
Her office. She's chilling. Talking about how maybe she should take a break. How she's really sad that all the directors are working on Smash and all this stuff. And she needs time. And I'm like, for what? Tell me what? And it turns out Isabelle is coming to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Another new character. And we're all like, wow, that's cool. Turns out she's an echo fighter of the villager. Very obvious. It's very obvious when you see like her three moves. Instead of planting a tree, she plants a stop sign. Oh, okay. She's going to water it? I don't know. It was all basically a troll for then Tom Nook to show up and look at you kind of creepily through his desk. If you want to see that image, follow us on Instagram at SuperGameCast64. And then they announced Animal Crossing for Switch 2019. No word on that. We literally got a logo. Kind of right now, this is in the same place as Metroid Prime. Actually, a little bit more, because we've seen two promos for it. Metroid Prime 4, we've just got a logo. But both things, we have no clue what they're about, what it is. Any speculation, boys?
Yeah, well, when are they just going to drop the facade and go with Animal Crossing University?
I don't think we're ready to enter that kind of debt.
Yeah, because you like live in a dorm.
Yeah.
And
I don't think, but the debt is, it's just too high. You could never realistically work it off.
Tom Nook is
the student principal? Loan?
No, he's Navi, you know, like.
Talk into the mic, not at each other.
I'm talking in the mic.
I don't. Yes.
He's Navient or Sally Mae or Freddie Mac or one of the big loan companies. And
I see. Okay.
Tom Nook and gives then, you the dorm and the tuition, and then he's like, now give me all your 9,000 bells. $9 million.
The thing that Animal Crossing University would have that regular Animal Crossing doesn't have is...
Sex.
Static characters.
Sex.
That is to say, they don't change out every few days when you don't show up and try to keep them around.
Yeah, maybe they fail out without your support.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Oh, like, it would be more like Persona.
Why can't I have sex since Animal Crossing?
And Tom Nook's like, hey, thanks for the 9,000 bells. Your original total was $40,000, and it is now $40,000.
Like, I can cut down a tree, but I can't slay some ass?
Nah. I mean, you gotta go to the wreck.
You can dig up
the wreck and play dodgeball.
You could dig up ancient artifacts.
But I can't dig up some hole.
But can you?
Jesus Christ!
But can you dig up some sweet skate moves down the Esplanade?
Wait, what?
The Esplanade?
Yeah, that's what you do in college, dog. You ripstick all over the place.
I longboarded in college too, I know.
Matt, what's an Esplanade?
I don't know actually. I'm the writer here and I don't know. Kevin outwritered me.
Look that up. Word of the day is like get Jombie over here. Not Jombie. Who is the guy from Pee-wee's Playhouse? Spit out the word of the day. Conky?
Yeah.
Conky. All right. Thank you. While both these guys look up what Esplanade means on their phone. Guys, let's move into games here. You're going to want to stick around. It's been 45 minutes already. I know you guys are like, damn, this is a content-heavy episode. Sorry, Nintendo dropped a lot of news on us. We're going to try and keep it a little bit jokey, a little bit lightheaded coming into it. Tyler, why don't you hit him with that definition?
Esplanade.
Yeah.
A long, open, level area, typically beside the sea, along which people may walk for pleasure. an open level space separating a fortress from a town. Ooh.
Yeah, the pleasure part, you know?
The pleasure part. Okay, moving on.
It's like a promenade.
Yeah. It's a promenade of the condemned. Dead Cells is a really good game. It's going to be a lot of talking about that game of the year. But we have games that are not of the year yet. They're of this week and this month, and we got to talk about those. We're keeping it cheery. We're going to keep it funny. If you've made it through this so far, here come the laughs. And also, after we talk about this game, it's going to be a free game.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Let's talk about this.
Matt.
Yes.
Matt, I was watching you play that NBA 2K19.
Yeah.
And then you jumped up into the air and went all
and you shot a web
me.
At the basketball.
You like that? If you like that, I think that's on Twitter. I don't even think. Yeah, at SGC64 Matt for that great little video I put up. Just generally speaking, I've been making a lot of videos, lo-fi like cool videos, putting on Super Gamecast 64 Instagram.
Some of them are creepy.
Yeah,
aware.
Definitely not scare, but creep. But anyways, Spider-Man. So what Spider-Man is if you took Batman Arkham Asylum, well, more like Arkham City, but it's got that asylum taste to it, and just completely copied it. It's not a bad thing. And then you sped it up, okay? Batman is a, you know, powerful and direct hero. He's very strong, got a lot of gadgets. Spider-Man's quick. He's quick on his feet. The combat system is a lot like Batman. You know, you press square or X or whatever you're playing on, and you'll attack a guy, kind of hop to him. You can counter when there's a little indicator over your head. You get different gadgets on a weapon wheel that you select. You know, spider web, spider drones, electric web. You're doing all this kind of stuff while you're exploring this big fictionalized New York that we all know Spider-Man 2 to live in, okay? It's kind of split up like Arkham City is. You have different districts of New York. They have side quests that kind of pop up as you go, but there's always one main through quest. There's never like, hey, you can go do this, this, or this to progress the story. It's always, if you want to progress the story, follow the yellow marker. Anything else will populate as you go. Here's the thing. Batman Arkham was a game series that a lot of people liked, even if they didn't like Batman, because it was a good-ass action-adventure game. The same thing holds true for Spider-Man, but even if you're not a fan of Spider-Man, by the end of this, you will be. And if you're a fan of Spider-Man, you'll be very glad to have the knowledge you have of Spider-Man going into it.
Can you straight up, like, silly string rap people like you could in Spider-Man 2?
I don't remember the specifics of Spider-Man 2, but if you fire a
just, like, hold down R1, you're just like...
Instead of holding R1, you tap R1, and then if they're close enough to a wall or a car or anything that's, like, a solid piece of material that you can bump into. Yeah, they latch onto. You got like the impact web, which is kind of like a shotgun blast of one, and that'll fling them. So yeah, you can do plenty of web stringing. There's some stealth stuff, so you can like sit on top of it, anything really. You know, if they're well, because you're Spider-Man, you climb fucking walls.
Just like fucking sitting on an old man's head.
You can sit on top of an old man's head, and then if there's an enemy and he doesn't know you, you hold square and then you just wrap him up on top of the old man, and then the old man has a new hat. Friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Like one of those long ski hats.
Jesus,
everybody had in junior high school.
Yeah, but it's a person.
Tyler, you know what I'm talking about. Look at him.
It's a criminal. So Spider-Man, it's got a surprisingly effective story. I would say someone on Twitter today said that it's better than any movie that they've ever done for Spider-Man. I don't believe that.
Yeah, I mean, Tobey Maguire is a masterpiece.
Honestly, the OG kind of goblin storyline in Spider-Man 1 does a way better job with the characters that do appear. I think the villain from Homecoming, I'm not going to drop any names or anything because that's kind of a cool thing within itself, is a better execution of antagonism than is in this one. That being said, what Spider-Man does for the Spider-Man franchise is kind of exactly what Arkham City did for the Batman franchise. It focuses on a few select amount of villains in the main quest, but every side quest, every activity is tied into some, you know, secondary character that you know. The upgrade system, besides the gadgets and the skill tree that you would assume to be in an action-adventure game, you can get new suits. Every time you complete some side mission, some collection of whatever, it's like, hey, you got a new suit. Those suits are all suits that have been featured in either different comic runs. There's maybe like one or two that have been in the movies.
Is there like little bits of lore tied to it so you can read about them?
Yes, exactly.
Dope.
Yeah. So like, if you don't know, there's a Spider-Man universe called Spider-Man 2099. where it's very far in the future.
Is that Miles Morales one, or?
I don't want to say anything about any, like, Miles or anything, because there's a lot. That's what I mean by, this game is not, I'm Spider-Man, and I just became Spider-Man, and I'm going to go take down the Green Goblin. This game is celebrating all of Spider-Man, bringing in the characters that, if you know the Spider-Man lore, you'll be like, oh, shit, are they going
to
do what I...
Isn't there a lot of, like, origin to some of this, the villains, too? Because it seemed like, this is literally, this is going off of, like, press release, like pictures that I've seen, and I'm totally speculating, but, like, at some point you're interacting with Doc Ock, and he's not quite, like, Doc Ock yet, you know?
I will
he's
say
like
that...
a regular person?
I will say that it's might be considered light spoiler, but it's, like, the first 20 minutes. Doc Ock is not Dr. Octopus, or whatever. He's not. He's just the Doc Ock, because in Spider-Man, you work with him.
Right.
Like, that was one of his original. But this Spider-Man that you're playing as has been Spider-Man for a while. So he's already fought, like, the Vulture and different people like that. But yeah, there is some origins to the characters. There's origins to some different protagonists that appear in Spider-Man. But what I'm saying is, generally speaking, it's a celebration of all things Spider-Man wrapped into a very good progression system. And this game also, because of how good the web swinging feels and how good it feels just move around the city naturally, it feels really great. And they do a great job of being like, hey, the mission you're going to is right here, but there is something 100 meters to your left. And you know it's only going to take you about a minute to do. So a lot of the game just becomes, oh, I'm accidentally 100% completing this. There's only one gripe I have with it, and they force you to do stealth missions playing as not Spider-Man. Spider-Man has stealth options when you go and take on different people. When you're going into combat, you can use stealth. But they, in these story missions, they force you to play as characters who don't have any weapons. And so stealth essentially becomes... throw a lure, wait for the guy to look the other way, and I'm going to sneak past him.
It's
and
just like cone vision?
Exactly. And it's Metal Gear at the most basic, non-fun Metal Gear, and they're always like flashbacks to, hey, how'd you do that? And then now I get to play the 15 minutes of you doing that, and it kills momentum, both literally and figuratively. If they didn't have, or if they cut maybe 75% of them out and only had one of them, I'd be cool with it.
How would you compare the open city exploration to something like a common or a similar game in my mind, again, not having played Spider-Man, so don't take this as an insult.
Yes.
But like Infamous.
Okay, Infamous is very, because Infamous you can scale walls really quick.
Yep.
I would say it's more akin to Crackdown.
Never played it.
Crackdown though, there you move very quickly. The idea of that thing is 200 meters away isn't like it's gonna take me 20 seconds. It's like it will take me 5 seconds.
Gotcha.
And as you fill out your skill tree, you can choose if you wanna do things that are more attack based, more movement based. Eventually, once you get to the end of the game, you can just, you know, press X and maintain your momentum 3 or 4 times before you even have to web swing to anything.
Damn.
So you're moving around this thing like a motherfucker. It is a great, great time. It borrows a lot of inspiration from Batman Arkham, both Asylum and City, not so much Knight. But if you like Spider-Man, if you like the idea of Spider-Man, if you like the idea of a fun action open world game, you should play it, you should buy it, but it is full price.
I don't have a PS4.
Then you don't have a PS4. If you're liking this idea right now and you're feeling like you want some superhero, well, boy, do we have something for you. Not for our console friends. We've been giving a lot away for our console friends. And by a lot, I mean like Dead Cells and a few other games. But it's PC time once again. Our Spider-Man talk has ended. If I had to rate it, by the way, I have reached 90% completion, 8.5. If it didn't have the stealth missions and maybe one or two side activities that were a little bit different, it would be a 9. But 8.5, and that's a very highly recommended 8.5 if you like the action-adventure genre. But if you don't have the money or the PS4 and you have the PC, well, you're in luck. We don't have a code for Spider-Man because it's not on the PC, but we have something just as good. Tyler. Why don't you give out a free copy of Batman Arkham Asylum Game of the Year? That means all the DLC. Fuck, this is a really good game. And the way it's going to work is like how you expect. We're going to read out this code. First person to get it gets it. You might be sitting there thinking right now like, no one's... I must have missed it. So many people... Probably not. For real.
Give
like,
it a shot.
Give it a shot. You'd be surprised how often you think that, and everybody else has already thought that.
And so no one ends up
No one ends. We will know if you get it,
Please do post in the Facebook group if you redeem it.
And shouts out to Sean, who was the redeemer of, what did we post on?
Human Fall Flat.
Human Fall Flat, yeah, that's by right. Curve Digital for our 12th birthday.
A great game.
Also, happy 12th birthday to all of us. Belated.
Hey. Yeah, soon I'm going to grow hair in funny places and start thinking about girls.
Exactly. Or boys. Or anywhere in between. Whatever, sure. whatever really gets
whatever,
you off.
Whatever wets your khakis.
Mm-hmm. Tyler, hit them with that. And if you would... or I could do it for you. Just try to enunciate or do that whole C as in cock kind of thing.
No, I'm not gonna...
That's why I'm letting you do it, because I'd do it like that. All right, here is a code for Steam. Get your computers ready. Get your memos ready. Batman Arkham Asylum, Game of the Year from Super Gamecast to you. Tyler, give them that code.
6AIBXP20R P H X 0 E D.
You got that now?
Now go get your Little Orphan Annie decoder ring.
Now there's four different levels that. Of this.
There's, be sure to team. Drink your Ovaltine. A crummy commercial? It actually says go to allyourriceneeds.com.
Yeah, allyourriceneeds.com. Check that place out. You'll enjoy it. Guys, yeah, if you like that, just hit 30 second back if you didn't get all of that. That is a free copy of Batman Arkham Asylum Game of the Year. I'm going to say that one more time. That's a free copy. Batman Arkham Asylum Game of the Year Edition. If you've never played that game, holy shit, it's really good. It's also kind of creepy, so it's really good for coming into October.
Sorry to tell you guys, I already redeemed the code. Just did it. You never told me I couldn't.
That's true.
No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that.
Yeah, Kevin doesn't
already have that.
He doesn't
have that game.
So do I.
Friends, I have an awful lot of games to give away. Approximately 40 more.
There's going to be things coming in Season 5. Like, when we say, like, your experience points might matter and stuff, and we have things to give away, we're not just, like, jerking off over here, making up things. Like, Tyler literally has, like, 45. He probably has a good... handful of thousands of dollars worth of stuff to give away here.
And the more we see this kind of feedback from this sort of thing, the bigger we can go on prizes. I'd love
for
to
real.
Do a really big giveaway at some point.
There's a lot of podcasts who sorry to cut you off, Kevin, but there's a lot of podcasts who are like, we're gonna throw $50 at Facebook ads. We're not gonna do that. We'll just buy one of you guys a brand new game. Like, yep. we'll get you. Do you guys like anime? Like, we'll win you anime figurines from the arcade. And there you go. Like,
we'll send you a pop figure. Dang.
I'll mail myself to you and give you a big old hug.
Yoda pop figures. We got Boba Fett pop figures. I got Dragon Ball pop figures. I got a Kelly Kapowski pop figure.
I don't
want to
underestimate how good that hug is, though.
I just want you to know that if you win that Kevin hug, you got to pay for his Uber back home.
Yeah, you do.
So it's
yeah.
kind of expensive, and I yeah. am sorry in advance.
Spider-Man's a good time. Let's move through this stuff, and I want to get to Mobile Corner, because we did not get to do that last week. So let's just run through this stuff. A lot of this stuff is stuff only that I have played, so let's bring one in to everybody. Tyler, I don't think you played this, but you've seen enough of it. Kevin, you obviously have. Destiny 2 Forsaken. Here's what I want to get down to the nitty-gritty of. Is this worth getting back into Destiny 2 for? I've already made my decision. I already put out my review today. Kevin?
Absolutely.
Why do you think so?
Fantastic, fantastic story, first of all.
100% agree.
Brings back old characters, but if you don't remember them, it doesn't matter because the story stands alone on its own.
Yes.
It brings into the actual game things that you've only heard of in lore. It kind of humanizes some characters in ways that they never really expanded upon if you didn't read the Codex cards and things like that. And on top of that, it gives you... Honestly, I don't think... Like, for as much of a grind as Destiny has been, I've never felt so good going into Destiny and logging in and being like, there are so many things for me to do, even in endgame content. It's not, here's the five things I need to make sure I do before next week. It's literally like... Oh, you know what? I got a little time. I'm going to throw on Destiny, knock out a couple dailies. They're going to take me a half hour, mm-hmm. and I still get powerful gear for it. So the gearing is more pleasant. The actual grind is more exciting. I haven't tried the raid yet, but I hear really good things.
It's a fantastic raid, but it's brutally high level.
Yeah.
Like, I think one of the last encounters is like 585 or something.
And the cool little thing, there was an activity in D1 called the Court of Oryx. Where you would use these runes to summon old bosses that you fought before, mm-hmm. or haven't in some cases, and you and your fire team would have to take them down rapidly, and you would get rewards for it. Well, they've kind of resurrected that in a more more interesting way. And honestly, I'm going to be straight with you. I'm not a big PvP guy, but for Gambit alone,
so fucking
I would
good.
Pay separately for Gambit.
Gambit is so good.
Some of the best PvP I have ever played in my life, mostly because it's mostly PvE. But still, there's a strategy to it. And there's the X factor is the other team, but you could play... You could play Gambit forever and never actually have to fight another person. You don't actually have to. You'll get invaders from time to time. If this doesn't make any sense to you, go look up a video of it. It would take a while to explain.
Go read my review. a90skid.com/... Oh, Jesus. I don't even know what the actual thing... It'll be like the number one thing.
Gambit is fantastic. It's some of the coolest and most innovative PvE I've seen. I'm sure it's not the first time this has been done, but it is...
Give me 1 second, because when they came out with Gambit, when they announced Gambit mode, which is a PvP mode, they said it's never been done in a first-person shooter before. I don't necessarily think, like you said, that it's 100% accurate, but I've never seen it done modern. And just so people understand what this is, I'll give a very brief explanation.
I feel like there was a Halo that did it, something like that.
Potentially. Here's what Gambit is. 2 teams of 4... You see each other at the beginning, and then you're both dropped into the same map, but it's a different instance. Meaning, you don't see the other players, they don't see you, you're in your own version. There's enemies around the field, if you kill them, you get motes. When you have enough motes, you go and you bank them in the middle. Whoever reaches 75 first, it spawns a giant high-value target enemy, and then the first team to kill that enemy wins. You can also block their banking by holding on to these motes. Like, say, okay, Kevin's telling me no.
So you can gather, they're a threshold. So there's 5, 10, and 15.
That's what I was going
to
say.
5 gives you a small blocker. You don't hold on to them. You bank them.
That's what I'm saying. You hold on. Okay, if you grab a mote and you run directly and you bank it, you've banked one mote.
Right.
If you die holding any of this, you lose all of it. So there's a risk reward. If you hold on to 5 motes and then bank it when you have 5, you get a small blocker. Like I said, 10 and then 15, right?
And it prevents the 5, 10, and 15, it prevents the other team from banking motes.
They have to kill these big enemies that pop up before they can do anything.
Yep.
So you can disrupt the other team by, you know, holding on to these motes and then banking them at different things. But there's the risk that you'll die. The other small element is that there's a portal that opens at a certain point, and you can jump in, or one person can jump through, and then you can mess up the other team. You're in their world for, I think, like 20 seconds before
you
get sucked back in.
Kill them and take their motes.
Yes. It's pretty cool.
And then on top of that, the final swing in each round, and there are up to 3. It's, you know, best of 3. You can, when you get 75 motes as a team, you summon a primeval, which is a really large boss that you have to fight collectively. During that fight, however, you can invade the other team or vice versa, and any kills they get heal the primeval. So they can come in and kill your players and heal your primeval while their players are down one person but also doing damage to it.
It sounds very complex, but when you play it, it just immediately makes sense.
It's
really cool.
It's super fluid.
Just some other housekeeping. Destiny 2 Forsaken, what this DLC also does is changes how you equip weapons. I'm not going to get into it, but it's actually a better thing. They added Triumph.
The new strikes are awesome.
They added new strikes. They added 2 new zones. Obviously, tons of story content. Specifically speaking on the story, whether or not you're an old-timey D1 head who loved to play all the old raids, or if you're just jumping with Forsaken, this main narrative is incredibly effective.
Yep.
It will be talked, and it will be talked about during Game of the Year. In fact, I think this year, because we have done the best moments category before, I think we're going to do a whole episode that is just best moment.
Cool.
Because there's so many, and they're all spoilers, and I feel like subjecting people to that during Game of the Year is kind of tough. Spoilers, specifically. But Destiny 2 Forsaken, I rated it today. I gave it a 9 out of 10. It is the highest rated DLC from Destiny, because the other two's kind of sucked. But to be honest,
I would honestly say that this did for Destiny what Taken King did for Destiny 1.
The raid is awesome, but I'm not going to spoil why the raid is so awesome. If you want, you can look it up, you know, what the raid is doing as far as endgame stuff. But for the first time in Destiny, we're seeing the kind of things you would expect in WoW. The kind of world events that change the fundamentals of the game.
And it's nice to get those secrets again. There are so many things that are hidden still that probably will remain hidden for months
Yes.
at this point. Do you remember when they hid that spear in advance of Warmind?
Yes.
And there was that big ARG where people had to find a physical location in the world, and there was actually a Valkyrie spear hidden somewhere. That could be going on, and we would never know. And I think that's one of the most exciting things about Destiny DLCs.
The last thing I'll say about it is one of the zones is called the Dreaming City, and it changes with every week. It has now changed 3 times, and one of those is because of weekly reset, and 2 of those are because things that have happened within the world that players have done. Destiny 2 has now taken on a new form. I highly recommend you get into it. If you don't have it, it's $60 and it gets you everything right now. If you already have the Destiny 2 main game, you're gonna have to buy all 3 DLCs. You can't just pick Forsaken and that's it. You have to have the other 3 or the other 2 as well. But highly recommended.
I do believe they have basically what amounts to a premium edition where it's like $60, you get all the old DLCs and the new one.
Yeah.
And then you can also purchase the year pack or whatever. I don't remember what they call it.
Yeah, the season pack, thingy. Tyler, I think it would be if you still want a little bit of Destiny in your day, it might be a good thing. But Tyler, it's not 100% Destiny kind of guy. He just likes to play some games with his friends, mm-hmm. and that's good. And guess what? Here's a good game that you might play with your friends already, and it's now even better to play because Rocket League. We talked about Rocket League a little bit earlier. They now introduced their Rocket Pass. I just want to talk about this for like a minute. Fortnite. If you played Fortnite, it's that. If you haven't played Fortnite, when you start up Rocket League, they've changed the leveling system a little bit. Now with their seasons that they already had, their competitive seasons, they have a Rocket Pass. There is a free version and a $10 paid version. But basically, as you play and as you get experience, you level up and you unlock new cosmetics, you know, a different kind of car, cool goal explosions. It's that kind of thing. Basically, the Rocket Pass is what Rocket League needed to stay fun. Kevin, I think, has said before that I think it was specifically in reference to Rumble Mode, is that for somebody who doesn't play the game all the time, there has to be something to keep you coming back. And I think the Rocket Pass has enough stuff that will keep even... Because everybody's like, oh, I want to see a giant T-Rex blow up when I shoot a ball.
Part of the reason I don't play games like Fortnite is because people have been playing it so long that the barrier to entry is super high. The curve is just like... astronomical because everyone is better than me.
Yes.
So but that's sometimes how I feel when I play Rocket League.
Rocket League specifically, they've changed the way that you're ranked and who you're ranked up against and a bunch of different stuff. So that is actually kind of better now. They balance people out. You'll very, very much enjoy it. If you haven't played Rocket League yet, go buy it.
Because I'm at like the level now probably where I could play against people that aren't actually playing and I'd probably still not.
You got to get there. Rocket League has Rocket League generally has a high barrier of entry to be good. It's one of those games.
Well, it's been so long since I played it.
When I talk about Rocket League, I say the same thing as I do as League of Legends. You're never good at Rocket League. You just get progressively less bad. You're always bad at Rocket League. I'm trash. I'm actually platinum, which is like the 3rd highest you can get, I think, at this point in ranking. And I'm trash. One day, maybe I'll be good, and that's when you're the best in the world. Star Wars Battlefront 2 is not as bad as everyone says if you just play the single player mode and forget the rest of it exists. That's all I'll say about that.
Nice.
Actually, there's like one fun mode in the multiplayer. The multiplayer isn't bad. What happened was when Star Wars Battlefront 2 came out, I said, I'm not playing it till they remove microtransactions. And EA was like, we removed microtransactions. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll play your 4-hour campaign. The story is shit. It doesn't at all. It's just a reason for, like, Princess Leia to show up and Mark Hamill's character to show up, Luke Skywalker, fucking Mark
Hamill character. You know,
like, Mark Hamill is... Yeah, exactly. But if you like Star Wars...
about that little green dude?
Yeah, Yobara.
Kermit.
If you...
Yogurt!
Holy shit, they should do that! DLC characters from Spaceballs. If they should make a Spaceballs game.
No.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah, it's erotica. Visual novel.
Spaceballs Lego.
Spaceballs the Chainsaw.
Maybe Lego. I agree with Kevin.
Yes, I would take that as like a DLC.
Once.
I would take it as a DLC.
Tell you what, I'm the ideas guy.
Star Wars Battlefront 2 is an okay time. Don't get your hopes up. But if you're a Star Wars fan and you're looking for a first-person shooter that's kind of fun to play.
All I can think about when I think of Battlefront 2 is that video of somebody as Vader standing on top of like an AT-ST. And he's just like... the way he's walking is completely out of sync with the AT-ST. Like, his feet are just, like, moving at a normal pace that a human walks, but because he's on top of that thing, he's moving super fucking fast. It's just like, oh god, it's
a very
funny
visual gag that won't translate over.
It's on YouTube, just go look it up. Yeah, YouTube, right? You ever been to YouTube? https://www.youtube.com.
As I was saying, if you like Star Wars and you're looking for a fun first-person shooter, it's about 4 hours long. It's a good one. Tyler has not talked a lot. Tyler.
I did. I told a story.
Tyler, but he hasn't talked a lot in about 20 minutes. You don't have to talk a lot. You know, we could just save this for next time. You're already kind of pissy about it because of how much you had to pay for it. We could talk about Monster Hunter Generations next time. That is, and I feel like Tyler will talk a lot about it or not a lot about it at all. So it really...
It all depends on, do you want to ask me a lot of questions?
Okay, let's do it. Monster Hunter Generations, because these next two games are going to be very, very short, and then we'll have Mobile Corner and we'll be out of this bitch.
Okay.
So, Monster Hunter Generations, coming from me, a person who's only played Monster Hunter World?
Sure.
That was the new one, right? Sorry, just because a lot of Monster Hunter, a lot of subtitles. Can a player who has played Monster Hunter World and gotten hip to it reasonably go back and now play Generations because of all the different zoning and stuff? Is Generations still close enough where I could play it and not be completely confused? Or is it a new Monster Hunter game that you're going to have to relearn everything? That's my biggest fear going in, is I want to play more Monster Hunter, but I don't want to have to relearn all the stuff, like with the scatter flies that I had. Hmm. So is it reasonable that I could get in there, or is it still a very high barrier of entry?
There are no scout flies. Okay. You have to stop and drink a potion.
Okay.
You have to paint a monster with a paintball.
I remember hearing about that. Yeah.
And track them physically.
Okay.
You have to do an awful lot more things because it's hard Monster Hunter.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that if you got hip to Monster Hunter World, you probably don't want to play Generations.
Don't do it.
But to that point, I heard that this one is like if all of the monsters and all of them just got together and just fucking... It's just Godzilla fight all monsters but Monster Hunter World.
Yes.
It's just... How many are there? Like 70?
92?
Fuck. No, I think it's like 98.
Now, here's my secondary question. You know how, like, in Monster Hunter World, how, like, one dragon kind of looks the same as the other dragon? They're kind of similar?
Yeah.
Is that, are, like, 40 of them unique, and then the other of them are just color-coded? Or is it, like, really 90 monsters?
So,
because I remember there was, like, underwater monsters at some point.
Mm-hmm. That was in Tri.
Sidious?
Sidious is
I remember those being not fun for some people talking about them.
So, underwater fights sucked. Everybody knew that.
Are they still in this now?
No. There are Leviathan monsters. There are underwater monsters that have been re-released for this, but they're land only. Like, they'll jump in the water and run, swim away, but you can't follow them into the water.
I think that sounds better than having to jump into the water.
Yeah. I mean...
So the monster selection itself. Mucho bueno.
So, there's about 40 to 50 monsters, you're right. And there are extra colors. But the thing about that... Now, I know I'm going to sound like... Well, actually...
No. You're not going to sound well, actually, because even though it is just a different colored monster, that they change shit enough just from playing World that it is its own different experience.
Right.
They are different monsters. It's just not one is a giant squid and one's a giant, you know, like fucking whatever.
Right.
They're just similar looking character models.
So the difference between a Rathalos and an Azure Rathalos,
yeah,
is how much they're in the air and how much damage each move does. And how much damage they take from one thing or another.
Also the color.
Shut the
Not
fuck
up. Not to mention one of them is red and one of them is blue. But Rathalos will charge you on the ground three times more often than an Azure Rathalos. And an Azure Rathalos will snipe you out of the sky twice as much as a regular Rathalos.
This might sound petty to people who don't play Monster Hunter, but... That is something that makes a huge difference. Monster Hunter is not a game where you're just like Devil May Cry and jumping around. You can take 20 hits and still be cool. Like, Monster Hunter is the kind of game where if you get smacked and they want to smack you, oh boy, you got smacked. So the level of how often this thing will charge me or when it'll take, you know, whatever attacks, it does completely change the gameplay experience. So yes, it sounds like there is actually 92 different kinds of fights, but maybe there's 50 different character models that have been changed a little bit.
That's true. Yes, that's fair.
Beyond that, have you played any online stuff? How's the connectivity? I mean,
it's fine.
Is it?
It's Nintendo connectivity. It's fine.
Better than the 3DS stuff? Because I never played the 3DS. Really?
Really.
Worse?
Yes.
Shit. And you're going to have to pay for it, so how do you like them apples?
Well, it better be better after that.
Well, we can only hope that this $20 a year service will improve server stuff, but if I had to guess on Nintendo Switch's online service, you're just now paying for the shit you were allowed to do for free before, and they're just going to use that money eventually, like Kevin said, to build it up. But for this first year or so, it ain't going to be great.
It's proof of concept.
Yep.
I mean, yeah.
If you want to get into the nitty-gritty of Monster Hunter Gens, you can do it for sure. But I think at this point, the thing that's really pushing Monster Hunter as a franchise forward is this whole world thing. It's the biggest Sega-selling property ever.
Sega?
Who? Capcom. It's the biggest selling Capcom game of all time.
Yeah, I think it...
And
I think
full stop.
It broke 5 million copies.
Yeah, sold? Full stop. Capcom. You know, they made Mega Man...
They made Devil May Cry.
Like they made, we just talked about how they made all those beat-em-ups and all. This has sold more than anything ever has in their entire history, which goes back to, the 80s.
I mean, we're talking Street Fighter and Street Fighter
2. Yeah, it outsold Street Fighter.
That's kind of a big deal.
As we leave off this topic, I have a final question. And this, I think both of you guys can weigh in on. Because both Kevin and Tyler played a lot of this, we'll call it, pre-world Monster Hunter. Do you think there's still room for pre- and post-world Monster Hunter games to come out? Or do you think that everything moving forward will now be post-world? Will be babied down a bit? Will everything have scatter flies now? Or scout flies now? Or is there still room for these generations that aren't just remakes?
I have a controversial opinion, so maybe Tyler wants to go first.
No.
Throw out the controversial one
My
first.
Controversial opinion is that making that hardline distinction between the two is kind of gatekeeping. And I feel like I've already been kind of... called out
yes
for the fact that I like World better, even though I did play a lot of old Monster Hunter.
You guys played, when I say a lot.
I played 3U, I played MH4, I played MH4U.
And each of those you guys spent hundreds of hours.
I spent more time in the old Monster Hunter than I ever did in World.
I don't want you to forget about Monster Hunter Generation, because that was different than 4. You played 5 different games.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and I've
you guys have spent a lot of your
countless hours, a lot of your life, old Monster Hunter, and I still think I like Monster Hunter World better because it's more cohesive. It's more when you're tracking the monster, you're literally finding its prints and its dung, and it's all like you feel like you are tracking a monster. Whereas before, you just drink a potion that you made out of a couple different mushrooms that you spent 3 hours farming.
So, is there room to bring back some of these older mechanics that weren't there in World?
I will admit. That World could do with a little bit more of that tedium, because that's what made Monster Hunter cool, was because, hey Tyler, let's go hang out, we're going to play a couple hours of Monster Hunter. By the way, we can do this because we both spent a couple hours on our own farming this particular thing to get a better potion.
That was a big
thing.
I remember that single player and multiplayer was split in the older versions.
And there is a little bit of something lost in that. However, I don't think it's worth splitting the fandom over, and I feel like that's what's happening by... re-releasing these old games after that. There's definitely a place in Monster Hunter for both of those things. And I don't think one is better objectively than the other, because they both have a special place.
Tyler, do you have anything to say to that before I wrap that up?
Say on his point, or...
Generally speaking, across the whole board. Because I have my wrap up here.
Okay, so...
Tell us your piece on Monster Hunter Gen. Before I move on to something that's not as good.
It is... It is hard to be. This is like the difference between people that got into D&D at 4th edition,
yeah,
and the D&D 3.5 players.
Kind of like choosing your favorite kid at this point,
right? That's exactly right.
And one of them came, and you grew up with him for 10 years. Then you had another one. You're like, whoa!
Even though he's frustrating, and
yes.
So the thing I like most about Monster Hunter is.
It's me taking a drink of water.
Boy, I hate to say it's the tedium, but it is.
Well, but there's a reason that people like games like clickers and stuff. Games with timers and games that take a long time. Because some of us like to spend a good chunk and invest into things and feel like you're doing things. And I think that's why I said there's a big difference between the two. And I feel like there's reasons that people like the older style and there's reasons that people like the newer style. And they're quite different.
Something I will say about Monster Hunter, I think this will be my final point about it, it's kind of grown with us in a way, because back when, you know, MH4 came out, and before that even, that was some of the first games I ever played with you guys. I think the first time I ever came over your house, you talked me into buying it. I brought it the next time, and we played for hours. And mm-hmm. every release after that, we took the day off work, and we played for like 10 to 18 hours sometimes.
Yep.
There's a lot of history with Monster
Hunter.
Some
of us had girlfriends, some of us didn't. Some of us had fiancés at times. But now we've gotten to the point where it is untenable to spend 18 hours in a single day playing a game. And I feel like Worlds kind of remedied that, but still gave us that good Monster Hunter magic.
Tyler, do you have anything?
I don't want to say that I like one more than the other, because I feel like they are two different games of the same concept.
Yeah.
I do enjoy World at its comfortable points. It's just too comfortable, and I have bed sores. I miss the let's sit down and hammer out all of these small pieces, and deal with all this garbage that you think is garbage, and really you're learning every bit and piece of the game. They're showing it to you in a way that is organic, sorta. A game that tells you a story based on missions is hard to tell a story with.
Here's the thing.
You don't have to read any of Monster Hunter.
Yeah, Monster Hunter's never been about the story.
If you read any of it, it's hilarious.
Here's the thing with Monster Hunter. If you're done.
I don't really have much else, yeah.
We will talk about Monster Hunter again, because, like I said, is the biggest selling Capcom game ever, and they'd be really dumb to not continue. So I'm almost 140% sure that we will be talking about Monster Hunter World 2 come next year, 2020.
I completely didn't answer your question.
It's okay. No, the point is that you guys got that out there, and now people understand that there is a very big difference between mm-hmm. old school Monster Hunter and this new one. And I think although it brought a lot of people in, there's still some elements of old Monster Hunter that could be reintroduced into the series now that there's a base understanding.
And I would go so far as to say, if you really did enjoy Worlds and you found yourself like enjoying Monster Hunter as a concept, I say go for it.
Oh, you could probably still get into it.
Try the old game.
Just understand there's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff. And I mean that.
Let's move on real quick here. I'm going to just do this one real quick. We hadn't been able to talk about it for a while, because it was supposed to be a VR game when it launched on PlayStation. It was VR when it launched on PC. This is Anamorphine. It is a game that has no dialogue. It is all very trippy, and it tells the story.
It has no dialogue because you turn to animals the whole time.
Anamorphine.
Anamorphs.
It kind of reminds me of that game Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, where you're kind of you're moving very slowly. Well, in this game you don't move slowly, but you're investigating like this weird town, and there's like a lot of almost observer or layers of fear kind of like shifting of rooms. It's not a horror game. It's very much an emotional story about mental health and that kind of thing. But it plays with your perception. It plays with what you see at different moments. And it's generally a walking sim that will make you interested. To be honest, I'm still holding out for the VR stuff, because it is a trippy game, and I played enough of it where I could recommend it if it was VR. At this point, I cannot recommend it as just a straight up walking simulator, because after 20 minutes of playing, it did not grab me. It did not do anything emotionally for me. Go play What Remains of Edith Finch. Not to discount Anamorphine, but it just didn't, from a 2D perspective, it didn't grab me, and the promise of VR was what interests me in the first place. As a VR game, I think that stuff would be really cool, because it'll mess with your perspective, and you'll be in VR. Kind of the same way the Layers of Fear would be way more effective if you were experiencing it instead of playing it. Same thing goes for Anamorphine. So that game, it's cheap. It's like a $20 game. Hard work by the devs who did it. You can see a lot of passion went into it. It's a very beautiful game, but like I said, it lacks kind of the emotional oomph that I think it promised by giving you this kind of tantalizing. It's about mental health. It's about mental illness, and then it shrouds itself in mystery. And the other thing that irked me, and I mean, this is a weird thing to be irked on, but remember when Call of Duty did the No Russia scene?
Yeah.
And then so every Call of Duty Therefore After, or I think it was after they did the atomic bomb scene, but every Call of Duty Therefore After was like, hey, there's a violent scene in this. Do you want to turn it off? Right? Every Call of Duty moving forward, except for maybe like Advanced Warfare, was always like, hey, there is a very violent scene. Do you want to turn it off? And I felt like at a certain point, they were doing that just to sensationalize it. Because the scenes they were showing that you would turn off were never had the emotional or story impact that the previous ones did. They were just doing it to be sensational. And this game starts off, and before you even select any, you select new game or whatever, it's this big thing, and it talks about, oh, there's a scene that's going to trigger you so hard, and it's blah, blah, blah. And, like, click here if you want to see the full trigger. And I understand with everybody, especially when we talk about mental illness, you don't want to really trigger anybody if they have anything. But the game is so stylized, and I haven't beaten it, and I haven't seen the supposed scene, or maybe I have. It just felt, it felt weird to me. Like I said, a weird thing to be irked about, but I'd be dishonest if I said that. It just was so up in your face about, like, oh, there's some fucked up stuff in this fucking crazy mental illness game. Like, you sure you want to see it? I get it. Have a trigger warning for people who have triggers. But don't make it so in my face. Like, something rubbed me the wrong way about it. And maybe it's just the fact that they promised the VR and didn't deliver on that. And I had to play it anyways, so I was already in a bad mood. Because I want to play it in VR. I want to play the VR game. Sorry. 2K19. NBA 2K19. I played some of the main mission. There's a lot of modes in this game. Don't turn off the podcast. My career mode. You play as a man who is so bad at basketball. He doesn't get drafted in the NBA. He goes to the NBA draft. They choose all their draft picks. He doesn't get picked. His buddy's in the NBA. He plays for the Lakers. This kid's so bad he gets sent to goddamn China, where he doesn't know how to play. He is just an American player. And that's not to say that Chinese basketball is bad. In fact, I actually prefer Chinese basketball in some ways. It's very flashy.
Hipster.
It doesn't have all there's a lot of culture to the NBA that sometimes shrouds the game itself. I think the character, there's a character even in it.
Kayfabe.
Yes. Yeah, like the whole star power of a lot of I don't want to get into the NBA.
Bonus stars at the end of the game.
Sometimes I motherfucking Mario Party, Waluigi, I'm going to kill you. Sometimes I like to see a good game of basketball, and sometimes Kevin Durant is annoying, and I don't like Steph Curry with a stupid mouthpiece, and LeBron James on the Laker now. We won't talk about it. Anyways, for a good portion of the game, aka the first hour, you are just playing. All of the commentary is in Chinese. All the people talking to you is Chinese. You have one interpreter in-game who maybe interprets, like, a thing the coach will say. He'll be like, tie your shoes. But the entire first 2 hours or hour and a half of this game is you just playing for this Chinese team. And it completely removes the whole idea, the whole culture of the NBA. And it's really cool and really refreshing. And to the point of the narrative, you know, it's not all, you're not always playing in the Chinese league. You move different leagues. Eventually you get drafted by the NBA. Eventually you'll win the final. You'll become an NBA champion, how all these games always work. But the path there is honestly kind of interesting. If you're not a fan of NBA and you're not a fan, or 2K, and you're not a fan of basketball games, this isn't going to win you over. This ain't no FIFA game, but get me in.
I think it's worth noting that you said this guy was really bad at basketball, but he went to China to play. He's probably still way better at basketball than anybody
else. Yeah, yeah. No. That's what I want. I wanted to step back on that. He's so bad he didn't get... He's not so bad. He's just so... He's so good, but not that good.
Yeah, I was going to say, because he still got invited to the draft. Well, he just wasn't picked. The reason... That means he's pretty good.
The reason that I say that he's so bad is because his whole character arc is him complaining about how he should be in the NBA and how, like, he's really not a good character. He's, as far as, like, being a protagonist and wanting to root for him, he's really not. All he does is sit in his room. He doesn't, like, one of his friends comes over when he's in Shanghai, because you're living in Shanghai, and he's like, show me the city. Show me what's going on in the city. He's like, well, I don't really go. I go to practice, and then I come home and I eat, and that's it. He's like, well, you're in this beautiful city. And he's like, well, this isn't my city. I should be back in the States. And that's the kind of character he is. So in his mind, he's shit at basketball because he's not playing for the Lakers. And it's a really interesting dynamic to have. Because I just got done with FIFA The Journey from FIFA 17. And that's all about, like, oh, very holistic, very good feels. And this is kind of what I feel like a lot of professional people who want to be professional athletes can feel like. Like that they're the best. And specifically with basketball, it's a team game. And this NBA 2K19 shows us the progression of a character who thinks he's LeBron James, but refuses to work with the team as LeBron James does. That's all I'm going to say. It's actually pretty interesting, but if you don't like basketball games, you're not going to like 2K19 because of its riveting story. It's really not. It's kind of silly. That's all we have for console and PC games. Boys, do you want to run through this mobile corner real fast? I mean, there's some things that I want to talk about right now with mobile corner, whether or not we want to do all of them. You can take a hot look at this list if you feel like there's things that can be removed. I see one thing already that can be removed.
Yep. Yeah. The third one down.
Mm-hmm. I was talking about the fourth one down. But actually, okay, if you want Xbox achievements, download Microsoft Solitaire for your droid. You can earn Xbox achievements. That's all I'm going to say. Play like a game of Solitaire and get 10 gamer score. That's the thing I did.
I see Reigns on there.
We've
talked about Reigns before.
Here's another thing. There's that old school RuneScape that Tyler mentioned.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I signed up for it. It is an $11 beta because you have to have a subscription currently to RuneScape. Some people are saying that they can get in without the subscription.
You can with Twitch Prime.
So if you want to play old school RuneScape like me, and you don't have an account with RuneScape or Twitch Prime or whatever, you're going to have to wait till this beta is over. I don't know. Tyler, do you know when the beta is supposed to be up?
No.
I hope this is not one of those games that stays in beta for a real long time, because I want to play. I would really like to play RuneScape on the phone. It just makes a whole lot of sense. I want to sit there and I want to quest like a dummy. I got so excited, dude. I downloaded a RuneScape old school like accompaniment app. Before I even downloaded the actual game, I was like, let me find all the questions. Like, I got into it, I signed up for everything, and they're like, you need a subscription. I was like, fuck this. Fuck you too. Like, so that's how I feel about it. Jagex, fucking release your game so I can play it and stop being greedy, you dumbasses. You released this game, what was this, like 2002?
One.
Oh, you think that when it's out of beta, they're going to remove the subscription?
Bro, RuneScape was free, and then there was a paid version of it to get to, like, the post-level 50 content.
I think it's still going to be subscription, man.
If you do that, you guys are dummies, and I'm not playing your stupid game. I'll probably play it for, like, 1 month. Someone talk about the Reigns. Santa hat, 17 mil. Someone talk about this Reigns thing.
Want to buy a girlfriend.
What?
Want to buy a girlfriend.
Okay, want to buy a girlfriend. No, the marketplace was trash. I can double your gold. Send me 3,000. All right, this is all RuneScape shit. It's burned my brain.
So Reigns is a game about being the ruler of a town.
Yes.
And you make decisions, it's usually like a yay or nay kind of deal.
It's like a card will pop up, it'll be a guy, and it'll be like, do you want to give the army 5,000 gold?
Yes or no.
And it affects the four resources you have at the top.
Right. This is a Game of Thrones version of that.
Yeah. Yeah, if you played Reigns, or Reigns Her Majesty, where you play as a queen, you'll know that Reigns is a very, very fun way to feel like you're part of a kingdom. It's also a very fun game to play in short bursts.
Yep.
That, plus Game of Thrones content, equals I'm buying it. I'm buying the game.
The first one was $3. The second one, also $3.
If they charge 10 for it, I'm there. I don't care. Do it. Do it to me. Please. Make me spend money on this game. Don't. Make it like $3.
Jon Snow.
Jon Snow. You know nothing, Jon Snow. They're married in real life.
I know.
Ygritte and
Jon Snow. Dead in this game, too.
Motherfucker, spoilers for Game of Thrones, bro. Spoilers for Game of Thrones. Honestly, at this point, if you haven't, that's like season two. The rest of the stuff on here, you guys want to take it?
Command and Conquer Rivals. Remember when we watched that one thing with the thing?
Well, that was EA. EA's E3 thing. They were making a big deal out of Command and Conquer Rivals, and then you played it.
Yeah, and just terrible.
You didn't like it? What's bad? What's bad about it? Because we all love Command and Conquer.
You want to know what's bad about it?
Yeah, give me top three bad parts of EA's Command and Conquer Rivals. Number one. You don't even have to finish the list.
They let people buy their decks.
No shit. EA with microtransactions? Oh. That's not me being an ass to you. It's me.
It's not randomized. You can literally pay money to, I want this card. I want it maxed
out. Oh, it's death. It's pay to win 100%.
Oh, yeah.
That fucking ruins the whole thing, EA. It's a goddamn strategy game.
Yep.
If you can buy the best things out of a work for them, no longer becomes a strategy game, becomes capitalism, the game.
Their cards are better than mine, straight up.
Because they have more money. I
haven't won a game yet. Because they have more money, yes.
If it didn't have the bullshit microtransactions, is it a fun game?
No, it's slow. It's very slow.
Is it arguably comparable to the mechanics of Command and Conquer, or does it feel different entirely?
It's completely different.
Okay.
Nuke incoming.
So, Nuke incoming because you have 9 guys on the board.
Yeah, and you spent $10.
Yeah.
So Command and Conquer fans, don't play it. Command or EA fans. I don't know who there's EA fans.
Loot box fans, go for it.
Fiends.
If you like microtransactions and mobile games that aren't good, this is your place to go. You should. But I hear that this other one, the third one down on this list.
Third one?
No, we could
skip that.
Third one was fun, but now we're talking.
We've already uninstalled it.
It was an RTS similar to Clash Royale. Like, you have lanes and you place units, and it was okay. It was called Castleburn.
Try it if you
really
want.
Have the longevity that we were hoping.
How long did you guys play for?
A couple days.
Yeah, maybe a week tops.
For them, that is very short.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, we've been playing Clash Royale for almost two years.
Yeah, it's not over.
If Kevin and Tyler are like, hey, you should play this game, and then a week later are no longer playing it, I don't download it. But this game here, the last one we'll talk about, Tyler and Kevin were like, Tyler started first. He said, comes in the group chat, he says, you guys need to play this game.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm in the middle of playing 5 games for work. Maybe I'll get to it. I downloaded it. Kevin pops in a little bit later, and he's like, yo, this shit is really good. And I'm like, I'll play it. And then a week later, they're discussing strategy.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, open up. Damn, this is a good one. Damn, it's
so good.
And that's how I know that a mobile game is decent, is it, even if it looks like complete trash, if the splash art is grody, if whatever, the description is written bad, if these two guys say it's a good time, it's probably a good time.
Tyler and I are like built-in mobile quality control, because he plays everything and then tells me what's pretty good, and then usually if it keeps my attention for more than a week, we're both good.
Kevin filters out the things that I would hate.
Because Tyler's a lot more patience for bullshit than I do.
He just talked about how he loves spending hours grinding in Monster Hunter.
Yep. Yeah. Tyler's which to a lot of people would be bullshit. So, like, if I play it and I'm like, the microtransactions, the paywall's too high, whatever, can't get over it.
That's the thing. Like, we haven't encountered a paywall. I mean, you can...
No.
Let's say the name.
Super Spell Heroes.
Yes.
Somebody explain how this game works in the most basic way. Because I'm on I'm on like level 3.
Oh, wait. Do you think you can?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think I can adequately describe it in 10.
Okay. Right. Well, next episode, you'll get to do it in 10.
Yeah.
If you don't know what that is, sometimes we force one of the hosts to explain a game that's usually pretty complex.
It's a little bit, yeah. It's a,
specifically to be dicks.
It's a little bit more.
In 10 words or less. Well, you know, it's exactly 10 words.
So you have a 4x4 grid, right? 4x4?
4x4.
Yes.
And you have a super spell hero.
They're like a little character.
It's a wizard.
You start with one. His name's Zenron. He's a shadowy figure in a robe. Very cartoony, so don't get like too grimdark on me here. And basically what you're looking at is every so often, every exact amount of time, not just like randomly, 3 different tiles will drop from the top of the screen and land on your grid. You start with 3. They can vary from an attack spell to a shield, to a healing spell.
They're colored, too, so it's very easy to tell which one's matched with which.
Or mana that power those spells. So, for example, Zenron starts with both green and red spells. The green spells are your shield and your healing. Your red spells are your fireballs, things like that.
Yes.
So you have to start by clicking, by pressing on a spell, and then dragging your finger along the other manas and connecting them to that spell to initiate a casting bar that has a timer on it. It's a couple seconds. That is the crux of this game. That is the crux of the strategy. Because
take some time to cast.
So I'm Zenron, and you're across the way from me. It's active PvP. You see me connecting. You have a little... It's almost like a mini-map of your other player's field up in the top right. And you can see what and when they're highlighting. So I'm playing against Tyler, and I see he's putting his big old thumb, his little booger hook, on a on a fireball.
Booger hook, you fuck!
He's putting his booger hook on a fireball, and he's dragging it out to like 6 different fire manas. I know he's about to just drop me. So I, being the smart guy I am, click on my shield.
Being the college-educated man I am.
Click on my shield spell, and I drag that across as much green mana as I possibly can, effectively canceling out his spell. Now, not only is there the cast bar timer, but there's also the projectile timer. And each character, as you unlock, will give different nuances and things like that. So what were you going to say? Go ahead.
No, I just much like Gambit Mode, this thing could sound confusing.
It's very simple.
I'm a dumb dumb. Basically, you take your finger and you press on the thing that looks like a spell, and then you connect all the diamonds, and that makes it better. And if you want to not get hurt, you do the green ones.
And as you're casting these,
that's spells, how much I know about the game.
As you're casting these spells, you're filling up a small gauge of like arcane capacity at the bottom. And as you cast more spells, your capacity to cast more powerful spells increases. So you hit different tiers of spells.
Yeah, so like if you cast like, you know, three fireballs, then it's like, hey, now you can cast cool spireballs.
Now you can cast like Pyroblast or something. Yeah, like that. It's just a little stronger.
Here's your Mega Heal.
Right.
And your Magma Bomb.
Instead of listening to us talk, are we all done about Super Spell
Heroes? Yeah.
Okay, Tyler, I don't know if
you... Bring it in.
I mean, it's a fun game and I enjoy it a lot. I've spent a lot of time on it, and it's been worth every second.
No paywall yet, we're here?
I mean, honestly,
I gave them some money because I like the game. I like the game enough to give them some money.
And the paywalls aren't exactly paywalls. You can pay to unlock a character early, so you go through these different lengths of map, kind of like in Candy Crush. I know it's nothing like it otherwise, but you know how you have the different zones?
Yeah.
So when you get to a new zone, you have the ability to unlock two new characters by completing quests, which are the Farmville timed out portion of the game. They don't hinder you from playing. You don't have an energy expenditure, but you have to wait 3 hours for your hero to complete a quest.
Wait, oh snap. When I click, like, fight on level one whatever, am I actually playing against another person?
Yes, you are.
Oh, dude, I've smoked some kids then. Oh, shit, I feel really good. That moment when you think you were playing against an AI and you were playing against another low level, and you... Oh, man, that kid was... That guy was probably really mad. I full shield blocked and his shit. I was like, nah, you don't even know.
Oh, there's even emotes. You can throw emotes.
Yeah. I didn't fucking...
Alright, so as you're playing, you complete quests, you unlock spell books that increase the power of your character's spells, or sometimes unlock new spells that just... It deepens the strategy. There's spells that you can cast that deal damage to your opponent when they damage you. There's spells you can cast where there's a big rock guy who throws these giant boulders that travel really slow, and then after he casts, there's a little timer on your field that slowly ticks down, and if you cast a spell while that timer's still on your field, it weakens the spell that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all this nuance with the different characters you play, and their strengths and weaknesses balance each other out. It really is a fantastic and in-depth game for something mobile.
Instead of listening to us talk about it anymore, download it on your phone. Let's bring it in here to the end of the show. Guys, stick around with us, because as always, Kevin has a delicious... You know what? I'm going to say Kevin has... Am I going to regret this? Kevin has two spicy game facts for us today. Here's the thing. Tyler's looking at my thing and how much have
you
I beat?
You need to connect on Facebook to us so we can. Be
have I
friends.
Beaten people IRL though?
Yeah, you have.
Yes, get wrecked! You guys all suck at Super Spell Heroes Online, nerds. Yeah, you randos. Connect. Yeah, I was gonna connect on Facebook.
Uh-huh, but sure you were.
Okay, you look, guys. I'll fight you guys. I'm gonna be the best Super Spell Hero.
There's friend bonuses, dog.
If you want to find us on social media, you can find us at these links. Super Gamecast, or at Super Gamecast 64 is the main Super Gamecast Twitter, but if you want to talk to me, I am at SGC64. Matt, I hit the thing.
I'm at Gingerbeard_man, beer like the beverage.
I am at T. Tremaglio.
Instagram, guys, I'm posting all these cool lo-fi videos, some cool shit, Spider-Man, got Mary Jane looking out over a burning New York, it's all crazy stuff we got up on there. Got Spider-Man, different costumes and shit, that's at Super Gamecast 64. I guess if you want to follow me, I'm at Amazon_XD. You know what I mean?
I think I'm at T. Tremaglio 4 on Instagram.
I'm at Kin_Krubs.
Hell yeah, dude. Instagram it up.
I'm old for Instagram, though, so whatever.
It's okay. If you want to email us, you can do that. That's sgc64mail@gmail.com. We do have a website in the works, so keep your ears to the ground.
Eyes to the screen.
Keep your eye. Yeah, you'll see that shit coming up. We'll have all of our reviews. You know, Kevin writing some stuff. I'm writing some stuff. You see all the video content we do. Speaking of video content,
so much more eloquent when we write.
For real. If you haven't read my shit or specifically Kevin's stuff, oh man, it's like two different people behind the screen there. Are you fighting somebody using my phone, you shithead?
Yes.
No, he's going to lose. He's going to lose.
He's doing the thing,
so
that he's
taking your Clash Royale.
He's
crown
doing the
count.
Thing. Here's okay.
I'm not sorry.
Young Dan used to do something back in the day.
when we were playing. Specifically, this is why I never beat Donkey Kong 64. Dan would play, and then he'd want to play it again, but he would, there's like three files. So he would play on my file, and then when I got there and I was like, what the fuck, I was on World 1, and now it's World 5, he'd say, I was just trying to get you far. That's the reason I've never beaten Donkey Kong 64. Because Dan just wanted to get me far.
That's amazing.
Through half. Yeah, it was, no, and that's what I feel like fucking Tyler is doing right now. They're sitting on opposite sides. It screwed up the thing. He's getting me far by beating these kids online.
He's getting you far.
I gotta get you far.
Thanks for getting... This is now part of Super Gamecast canon, getting you far, dude. But yes, sgc64mail@gmail.com if you want to email us. Always please join the Facebook group, that's Super Gamecast 64. There is a page. It has not been updated in a while, so if you look at it and the top thing is like, hey, episode 90 is a thing, you might want to try and find the group. Love our community there. We do have a Discord. Just, you know, if you guys want to do that, let us know in the Facebook group. I feel like the Facebook group is the place to be right now.
Yeah, if there's like want for it, we'll post it on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. Just let us know. As always, just keep listening, getting all this stuff. I feel like I'm... Oh, hey. We already mentioned at the top of the show, Shonen Trash. Also, gotta love Almost Better Than Silence, our friends Doug. And he actually just launched Missed Out Records.
Yeah,
which congratulations. Which is awesome, because he's doing a lot of cool stuff with cassettes and shit. So if you want some old school physical media for your audio, hit up Missed Out Records. They're on Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that. And also, Choose My Own Adventure. Yep. They're still going hard, huh? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So if you like some D&D, did you get me far? Did you make me win?
Did you get me far?
Did I die?
No, you just won.
Hell yeah, Tyler. And screw that kid who just got wrecked online.
He just mic dropped.
Yeah, dude.
He just takes the phone after having played this game for about 2.5 minutes. He just takes the phone, puts it in front of Matt. Nobody's playing this game anymore. And his character is completing a spell that just dobs the other person.
I hope that kid uninstalled. You've gotten this far. You should be rewarded. But not with XP yet. With spicy game fact. Kevin had two, and I told him
he... Did you want me not to say the other one?
I like the other one. Tell me the other one.
I have a third.
Dude, two.
Third is kind of a bonus, though. It's not really a game fact.
Okay. Ooh. Why don't you do the two that we previously discussed, because I don't know about this third.
The first one, they're kind of short.
Yes.
So, the first one is that Fortnite has now officially been cited in over 200 divorce hearings.
I said take...
Good.
Tyler said take the L, and I said take the D, the big divorce. That's funny as shit, though.
Yeah,
guys,
but it also means something else. What? That doesn't have to do with divorce if you take the D.
Mm. Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay.
That's the joke.
Ah, okay.
Then you won't be able
The other joke about D's is that, according to Stormy Daniels...
I'm sitting far away from the mic, so I just don't
maybe
have
not.
To...
According maybe not.
According to
this
Stormy Daniels...
Do it, I gave the okay.
Big Papa Trump's penis looks like Toad from Mario Kart. Those are her words. She specifically referenced Mario Kart because we all know Toad hasn't been in anything but fucking Mario Kart, right?
Super Mario Brothers 2.
Last thing I wanted to
do. I guess the fact there is that Stormy Daniels likes Mario Kart.
There is way more to that quote. It goes deeper. Just go look at
it. How can I go deeper if you don't tell me to?
She also references Yeti in that particular quote, so go check it out. That's a little teaser. That's a little BuzzFeed teaser for you.
Jesus fucking Christ. Oh my God.
Do it after you've eaten something, but long after so you don't throw up. Third thing, the world is on fire today on Twitter, the video game world, that is, because Seth Rogen revealed that he found out that the second controller on the NES controls the Duck in Duck Hunt, and apparently a lot of people didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I found out when my sister sat on the controller and the duck flew into the top right corner and nobody could figure out why. And Brie Larson and, like, all these other people were like, holy shit, I never knew that.
Does no one ever have, like, you're playing a one-player game and then your younger sister, but you just leave it in because you know it's not going to actually affect anything?
Yep.
And then you're like, oh, shit, actually, like, that's how I figured out Duck Hunt, you could do that. But holy shit, I'm so glad y'all learned about this NES game that you can't play.
Dropping that knowledge.
Hell yeah! Dude, that is a bonus. That's like you earned
something. Maybe you can get it on the new streaming thing.
Yeah, but you have to shoot at with the Joy-Con. Shit, you could take that one, Nintendo. Duck Hunt.
You heard it here. I told you, I'm an ideas guy.
Guys, you've reached the end. This one was a little bit lengthy. Very content heavy at the start with all that Nintendo Direct stuff. So if you're not a Nintendo fan, you know, I feel bad for you. But at least you probably skipped halfway through. I hope you skipped close enough to that free copy of Batman Arkham Asylum that we gave away.
You're welcome.
Once again, if you're still listening, put that shit into your Steam. Put that shit into your Steam. Please do. I'll be interested to see, and then let us know on the Facebook or Twitter or wherever who gets it. If you want to read any of my stuff, a90skid.com, like I said, we will have the website coming up. I'm not announcing that yet because it's not out yet. Guys, I think that's it, right? Have they earned their XP?
They earned their XP. I'm about to sink this shot, Kobe. Yeet.
He got it, dude. Hey.
If Kevin was playing NBA 2K,
he would have gotten 2VC for that.
He would have unlocked Spider-Man.
No. That probably cost $30. This is a game made by 2K. You guys have earned enough XP. If you've been following along throughout Season 4, this is your 11th episode. You got a lot of XP, so you're now level 11. Kevin, you know who you are. I think you're level like 13 at this point, bro. I think you're pretty good up on there.
Kevin 11.
No, everyone else is like 11.
Oh,
Kevin's 13 at this point. I'm giving him two more levels because he's been engaging.
You made it out constantly. Of
There's a few other people in this Super Gamecast 64 group. Y'all are popping up. Y'all might get some XP too. And like I said, after Game of the Year is done, we will be announcing a new system in which your activity with us will be rewarded with literally free games and stuff. It's going to be so much fun, guys. Thank you for joining us on this awesome episode. I've been talking a lot with my hands today. Tyler, I'm sure, is feeling that. Yeah. You earned enough XP. Congratulations. I can't not say imagine a world completely underwater.
You are so welcome.
Love you guys. Bye.